Let's pray. Lord our God, as we have gathered this morning to worship you, help us to be a people open to you and the transformation that you long to bring each one of us. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
David, could we possibly have the light back on? It's now a little dark. I like to see people's faces. Thank you. Change. How do you react to change? I don't know, maybe you walk into the supermarket and they've moved everything around again. The recent update of the computer means the layout has altered and you can't find what you're looking for. The arrival of the daffodils shows us the seasons are moving from winter to spring. Our usual establishment for a good meal has a new owner and things are different. How do we react in these circumstances? Some people, of course, welcome change and actively look for ways in which change can happen. A number of years ago, there was that change management seemed to be the whole culture that was going on within some elements of business. Others shy away. At the extreme end, never wanting anything to change and always harping back to how it was in the past, the good old days. Already, perhaps some of you are thinking, what's coming next? Where is this leading? Churches can find change notoriously difficult. I start with the reassurance there is no hidden agenda as we talk about change this morning. When I spoke about that at the 8 o'clock service afterwards, they said, but what about this, the pew sheet? That is as far as it goes. It's interesting, though, to think why churches find it so hard when it comes to change. Because surely one of the key aspects of our faith is that, actually, of change. As John pointed out that verse, and we are all being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory. Isn't that about change? Isn't transformation concerned with the ways in which we are being changed to become more like Jesus? Maybe it's our language that needs to change. So instead of focusing on that word change, which can sound a bit definite and final, we think about transformation and see that as an ongoing process. At this point, I wanted to bring in a transformer. We talked about those the other day, didn't we? Transformers and how they move and how you have to move different parts of them. And perhaps that's the image we should have. It's something which happens over time. So let's begin by looking at the passage in Luke's Gospel. 8 days after Peter has acknowledged Jesus to be the Messiah, and Jesus has begun to speak about his death, Peter, James, and John, being led by Jesus, find themselves up a mountain. Now, in the Old Testament, mountains have been places of encounter with God. Moses received the commandments up the mountain. Elijah is commanded by God to go and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Mountains, we have to acknowledge, are awe-inspiring. A visit to a mountain puts us in our place. It's the fact that they go up and up and up. They're beautiful, but at the same time, forbidding. To climb a mountain is difficult and often dangerous, I'm told. And when the summit is reached, you can see for miles and miles. And we become aware of the smallness of ourselves and a sense of who we are amongst this vast expanse. We see up a mountain God, the Creator. It's He who's made the mountains and the world we're able to survey. It's God who also has made us. So Jesus and the three disciples are up a mountain. Jesus is praying, and whilst he prays, a change takes place in his appearance, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. As he prayed, as Jesus spent time in the presence of God, transformation occurs. There's something about the deliberateness of Jesus going up the mountain and praying. We often read of Jesus setting himself apart from the hustle and bustle of people, wanting to hear him, speak with him, touch him, and receive from him. Jesus, God, prayed. How much more do we need to be up a mountain and to pray? Wherever we are in life, prayer begins as we focus not on ourselves but on God. As we praise and worship, as we confess our need for God. And as, yes, we pray for the things which are on our heart. Transformation happens as there's a shift in our focus. Peter, James and John, they sitting alongside Jesus up the mountain, they would have observed Jesus in prayer. And I guess they may well have prayed alongside him. Remember, they've spent a considerable amount of time with Jesus. They would have known it was something that Jesus did. We know that they asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. So surely this would have led them to prayer itself. So prayer brings about transformation. But we often want to know how. How does it happen? We want an explanation. Now, just like a scientific equation or a mathematical equation. I'm unable to give you that at this point. I don't know how prayer works. All I know, it does work. All of us can pray. It's something that we can do in everyday life. But for some people, prayer is the task to which they have been called to do. If that's you, it's a gift from God. And I encourage you to continue to pray. Can I say thank you if you are a person who finds that they pray and that is your calling at this time? It's a vital element for us as the people of God to have people who see their calling as prayer. I was thinking of a lady that I know who, for various reasons, finds it difficult to get about. She wants to, in many senses, be out and about, but her situation is that she finds that difficult. What does she do? She prays. She prays for all sorts of people and situations. And when you go into her presence, you are aware of the transformation that is taking place in her life. And within your own life, something comes of that because she prays and prays and prays. Not all of us have that gift to spend time praying like my friend. But we can be encouraged, nevertheless, to take the pew sheet away and use that to inform us for our prayer. We can look at the newspaper or the TV news, and we pick up what are the prayer needs of the wider world. Paul, when he speaks about Moses' face being veiled, speaks of the transformation which happened to Moses when he was in the presence of God. In the same way, we can be transformed as we pray, because we are in the presence of God. However, we don't need to be veiled. It's not something that needs to be hidden. The transformation in us happens by God. We cannot take any credit for it. It is God at work in us. So as the transfiguration of Jesus is happening, so Moses and Elijah appear. Moses, the lawgiver, and Elijah, the great prophet, demonstrate Jesus is the fulfillment that people have been looking for and waiting for. For the three onlookers, a sign the time has come. Jesus' death will happen and there will be fulfillment. Redemption will happen because God's rescue plan is in place. And then a cloud appears. Clouds, again, in the Old Testament are representative of the presence of God. The cloud led the people in the desert by day. And in 1 Kings, we read when the Ark of the Covenant is brought into the temple, the cloud filled the temple of the Lord. I like this bit, John. And the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled his temple. Can you imagine it? Unable to do the service because the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The cloud stops Peter from speaking. The three enter into the presence of God, and it completely covers them. It's a sense, isn't it, of being overwhelmed by being in the presence of God. I wonder whether you've ever had that sort of experience, an overwhelming sense of God, that it stops you in your tracks, and where God becomes all you can focus on. Some of us, maybe it's as we sing a hymn. Some of it's as we receive communion. Maybe as we're out walking or reading the Bible, the list is endless. Peter, James, and John heard God speak. "This is my son, whom I have chosen, listen to him." For the three of them to hear God speak in this way must have been amazing. Of course, as John has said already, God had already spoken in a similar way at Jesus' baptism. But God speaks. His voice is heard. And the three are told who Jesus is and what they are to do. Listen to him. Yesterday, Abby and Amy ran a children and young people's training day for the adults who are involved in that work. And one of the things that Amy was talking about was the Parenting for Faith course, and how in that course the parents are and grandparents are learning about listening to God. And instead of thinking about it as what happens going on in your ears, instead of listening, they call it catching God. So your experience may not be similar to mine, but I'm never sure I've actually heard God speak words into in any sense. But sometimes you just have that overwhelming sense that God is saying something. Maybe it's a sense of tingling going up the arms, the hairs of your head stand on end. Maybe it's you see something and you think, yeah, that's what God is saying. Maybe it's through the words of another person and we realize that we have caught a glimpse of God. It's Jesus who is transfigured. But it's Peter, James, and John who are the ones who have been transformed by this encounter. Now we know full well that Peter, James, and John go on and there's a continuing transformation which happens. It's not based on self-help or strong will, but based on the Spirit of God at work in their lives. The same is true for us. God transforms us to make us more like Jesus. And as we approach the season of Lent, it is one of the purposes of Lent. Giving up of chocolate or TV or whatever it might be is to enable us instead to focus on God in our lives. To look at the areas where we need transformation and to hand these over to God. Now, it's not easy. And we often like to keep aspects of our lives very close to ourselves and not to allow God in. But as Paul says in verse 12 of 2 Corinthians, we have such a hope. We are very bold. Our hope can only be in Jesus. If it's on ourselves, it will fail. But Jesus, the Son, whom God has chosen, we are to listen to. Our transformation comes as we recognize who Jesus is. As we listen to him and, like the disciples, choose to continue to follow him. This Lent, may it be a time when we are intentional about setting times aside to pray, to listen or to catch Jesus, to follow him. Lent, of course, begins on this coming Wednesday. There are two services. There'll be a Lent course happening over the next few Wednesdays. These provide opportunities for us collectively to engage with the transforming nature of Jesus. But maybe at home, you might set aside some time to read a portion of the Bible, to pray. In a moment, we're going to be singing together the hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. We're going to use the first verse of that hymn as a prayer as we come to Jesus and continue to look for transformation that comes from him. Let us pray. Love divine, all love excelling. Joy of heaven to earth come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion. Pure, unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation and enter every trembling heart. Amen.